From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast.
Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, a podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. And welcome to the 90th episode of the podcast, also known, Leah, as the Our Sinuses Are Out of Control.
Yeah, you're having a pretty hard time.
This has been a fun week. Breathing is important, and I haven't done a whole lot of that this week.
Yeah.
I woke up, I guess Saturday evening, I was kind of like, ooh, I'm kind of coughing a little bit. And Sunday, I preached. I haven't been, like, sick all week. It's one of those things where, like, your head feels like it's about to just, you know, blow off your neck or something. kind of been like that. But
kind of gross, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, hey, everybody who's ever had an allergy knows exactly what I just said. That's the way it is. So, but we are glad to be back with you. The 90th episode of the podcast, Lee, where I can feel triple digits, you know, 20 weeks away. Can you see it coming around the bend?
Well, it'll be there. Probably faster than we're ready for.
No kidding. Let's see, what will that be 20 weeks from now?
Oh,
what?
I don't know.
April, May, somewhere in there, I guess.
I guess.
Which will feel like next week. as fast as time seems to be moving along. But we have a couple things coming up as this is being released. I guess tomorrow you'll be doing a Ladies' Day. We mentioned on the last podcast at Bear Creek. The Mountain Home Congregation, but they're doing it, as we said, you're having to have a convention center, community center. Looking forward to that. Talking about hats, even though you're not going to wear a hat.
No, I'm not.
Man, I still can't convince you that, huh?
If I had one, I would, but I don't have one.
I've got plenty.
I'm going to wear a baseball cap to teach a ladies' day.
Okay. I've tried for two podcasts, folks. So what are you talking about? We've been kidding about the hats thing.
Well, we're talking about the hats that there are going to be two lessons, and one of them is hats moms wear, and so specifically they've asked that I teach a lesson about moms and you know the different hats we wear, so just you know different roles that we play as being a mom.
So for that one, you could wear a baseball cap with baby food smeared all over it.
But then, and then the second one, though, is just a more general lesson about just hats Christian women wear. So there'll be, I hope, things for any age of women, even young women, older women, widows, or whatever. So I think that it'll be good. I'm excited about it.
Yep. So that's tomorrow, the 30th of September, and then Not this coming Sunday, but a week from Sunday, I'll be beginning a gospel meeting. We mentioned on the last episode in Muncie, Indiana, the Town Acres Church of Christ there. And we keep, you know, thinking about hopefully things are going to be pretty and leaves changing. I sure hope so. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, I do too.
And this is one of those meetings they've said, just preach whatever you want to preach on. And I'm like, oh, wow. So, which I have to say, I like that in some ways, but then it's also really hard. Some ways you're like, okay, how do I narrow down the now, you know, hundreds of sermons I've got to, you know, six? Just try to come out and, you know, pick out six that hopefully are halfway decent, which, yeah, I'm not sure I've got six good sermons, but trying to go back and find those six. There's something about that, though. It's like, trying to decide which ones you want to do. It's sometimes harder than if they just say, here, preach on this, you know. So, but I'm looking forward to that. If we have any listeners in the Indianapolis, Muncie area, we'd love to see you at that meeting. It begins on the 8th of October. And again, the Town Acres Church of Christ there. Never been there. Never been to that part of Indiana. But I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I am too.
Got an email. As we're recording this, got an email today from the preacher there. And found out a couple things we're going to be doing that week. Sounded like a lot of fun. I think the kids are going to get to spend some time on a farm one day.
So that'd be great.
That'd be a good homeschool experience.
You're right.
Maybe they can milk a cow.
And I looked online. There's an art museum and and I can't remember the name of it now, but there's some house that's really like an historical house that you can take a tour of, and I thought that sounded really...
I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, I can't remember now. I looked at that a couple of weeks ago, but...
And you know what else is there?
Ball State University.
You remember now. Very good, yeah. which I have no... By the way, I'm not a Ball State fan. I'm just a college basketball fan, and anytime I can, you know, even drive by a campus of one of the mid-major schools, it's just cool. I mean, the Southern Illinois, of course, that's where my parents went, and I've been to games at Southeast Missouri State, Murray State, and it's just fun to see all these smaller schools and everything. So, Ball State. I guess in the next podcast we'll give Ball State update. How's that sound? I wonder if anybody's ever thought of that before.
Sounds real preachery.
Yeah, Ball State update. Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
we got a couple of articles we want to talk about. The first one is one that you shared on Facebook, and I had actually shared on Twitter. I don't think either one of us knew the other had shared it from Perspectives of a Bond Servant. It's an article called "There Are No Excuses." And the point of the article, very simply, is that God has told us what He wants us to do, and we don't need to make excuses. The writer goes back and talks about, by the way, Jonathan Medley is the Perspectives of a Bond Servant. He's the bond servant, mm-hmm. I guess. Goes back and talks about how God gave some commandments in the Old Testament, and even sometimes gave, I don't want to say secondary commands, but like with the Passover, if you couldn't celebrate the Passover in 1 month, He said you can celebrate the next month. So, God, was gracious and kind and everything. And the whole point of the article was God is not asking too much of us to be faithful, but we're really good about mm-hmm. the what ifs, or I can't, or I shouldn't, or whatever.
I loved that. I love how he did go back to that, because, that's something I've kind of forgotten about mm-hmm. until I read this article, and it's a good lesson for us all. And I guess that's the point he's making, is that God is not okay. He's an understanding God. And when someone, the exact example there were men who were unclean for some reason that I can't remember. Yeah. So they couldn't take part in the Passover if you're unclean, in the Old Testament law. And so they wanted to know what to do.
Unclean because of a dead person. Right. I knew he put in there.
And, it could have been a relative. I mean, they had to take care of a relative. Nothing bad. Yeah. But they wanted to know, what do we need to do? We've got to, the Passover, and that's a once a year thing, of course. And so, but God didn't say, oh, it's okay, you were doing something very important. Mm-hmm. He still said, it is important to observe the Passover as well, so I will give you another chance. That was just a refreshing reminder, I guess, of God's expectations, but also, like you say, His grace that you can still please God.
Right. The commands are still the commands. Right. And He's still God. And, it brings to mind what John wrote about, that His commands are not grievous, or His commands are not burdensome.
Right.
Because it's really easy to see something, and we're not talking here about things of, expediency or opinion or just even tradition, mm-hmm. but just the straight, commands of God, the things we read, thou shalt and thou shalt not in the New Testament. And what I sometimes say in sermons is, sometimes are they difficult? Yeah, sometimes, because of circumstances, I might struggle to fulfill a particular command right then, but I still can fulfill the command. Mm-hmm. They're not burdensome. At times, they might be difficult right then to for example, I'm just pulling out of the thin air here. We are commanded to sing in worship. Well, what if I just had a funeral for a parent yesterday, and the song they pull out is a song we just sang at that funeral the day mm-hmm. before? Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't think God's going to strike me dead if I can't,
utter
the words of that song, mm-hmm. 24 hours after burying a parent or a grandparent or something like that. But can I still worship? Yes. And can I participate in singing during the rest of the service? Yes.
Or, he understands that, but he would not understand if you couldn't bring yourself to ever come back into maybe that building, because maybe that's
ever
where the
again,
funeral was.
Right.
He still expects to be obeyed, but he's loving and understanding.
Right.
So I love how he put that together in that article.
And, he began the article by talking about, as a parent, kids are really good at making excuses. We kind of know that, right? But his point is, we don't lose that ability as adults. We can sometimes come with all kinds of excuses to not do what God says to do. And, we do most of our podcasts here about, family and parenting. So let's just, tie this to that. God commands parents to bring up their children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Really, technically, fathers, bring up the children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's really easy to come up with excuses to not really do that, to sort of half do it, when that's not a suggestion.
People do it all the time, well, it's different today.
Yeah. And it's, like I said, that passages like that, you know, we're sometimes really good at looking in Scripture, and if a verse says "thou shalt" or "you will," that's a command. But if it says something like, you know, "fathers, raise up your children," well, it doesn't say "thou shalt," so it's not really a command. That's still a command. It's just not, you know, it's not mm-hmm. a suggestion. It's still right. written in, you know, it's just something not written with a "thou shalt" right. or "thou shalt not," mm-hmm. But it's still a command. And but we're really good at coming up with excuses for all those types of things. You know, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Well, that's not written with the words "thou shalt."
Well, and it's
but it's a command.
It's kind of like, you know, when you have trouble with maybe saying things you don't need to say, you know, one way or the other, just controlling your tongue. And, well, you know, that's one of the classic examples of, well, that's just me.
That's just who I am.
I speak before I think. And, well, I mean, and everyone makes that mistake. I mean,
well, James talks about that. Whoever can bridle his tongue is a perfect
right.
person.
I mean, it's probably one of the hardest things to do. But it's still, you don't get an out just because you're not that special. You know, you're not that, you know, if you're not going to be excused because, you know, maybe you're the only person in the world that just could not hold your tongue, yeah. you know. So it's not how it works.
The verse I quote nearly all the time in sermons, if I mention speech or you know, the use of the tongue, is "let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt."
Mm-hmm.
And the people at Ninth Avenue are probably sick of hearing it, but I, you know, I nearly always say, that's not a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no, you know, boundaries on when that command is there. You know, it's just, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. And as you said, we're going to mess up with that. Yeah. But it's real easy for me to excuse. Well, I'm at the ball game, so I don't have to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Always is kind of always.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Or, you know, or I'm just out with my buddies. I don't have to, you know, we can make fun of our wives when she's not around.
Mm-hmm.
Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's it's kind of an article we don't usually talk about, that kind of thing. But I wanted to use it kind of as the background, you know, talk about God's commands, but also talk about, you know, marriage, family, and those sorts of things. We'll link to that in the show notes as well as the other article that we're going to talk about in just a moment. But again, the name of the article is "There Are No Excuses." It's on the website or the blog, Perspectives of a Bondservant, which, by the way, Jonathan has been blogging for some time. But this particular page, he just started. So if you haven't seen his new page, nice looking new website and
mm-hmm.
everything, shiny,
it's really good.
Shiny and everything. So I like the logo, by the way. Adam's getting logo ideas. But anyway, so that's article number one. The second article we're going to talk about is from a website. Now, I have to admit, Lee, I don't subscribe to it because it's for ladies. Come fill your cup. And it's the subtitle of the website is even Equipping Women for Study mm-hmm. and Service. But now I will say this. I come to this website from time to time because there's some Bible marking stuff.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, I don't subscribe to the blog because, you know, it's technically for ladies. But the Bible marking pages, my Bible's got all kinds of those things listed there. But this is not a Bible marking article. It's an article about something we've talked about on the podcast many, many times. But it's training. The name of the article is Training Kids to Love God's Word. And what this article does is it simply goes through some different things you can do, but it also tries to give just some very practical things for different ages, for toddlers, for elementary kids, for junior high school. Lady named Charlotte Oren, I believe is how you pronounce her name, wrote the article. And I don't want to go through all of these. I want to spend some time on a couple of them. But she lists, I think, five. The first one, of course, is to read. If you're going to, you know, have your kids love the Bible, you read it. You read it to them. I love how she even starts out in the womb. You know, just that. Now I don't know if they can understand, you know, Habakkuk while they're in the womb. But isn't that great? You know, because science has made it clear that whether the kids, you know, have a vocabulary in the womb or not, they recognize voices.
Mm-hmm.
They recognize sounds. And isn't that a neat thought, Leah, that they're hearing mom or dad or mom and dad, you know, that voice, but they, even though they don't know it, they're hearing that voice read scripture to
right.
them. That's a beautiful
mm-hmm.
thought.
It is.
But she talks about how you can help with, you know, toddlers and children, teens, you know, reading the Bible. The second one is to give them their own Bible, and she even gives a couple recommendations there for different ages. Obviously, the third one is to talk about it. She mentions the book of Deuteronomy, teach your children all the time. And this is not an article, by the way, with a ton of just practical, you know, here are seven ways to do this or whatever, but just kind of, for example, on that one, toddlers, introduce your children to Bible characters, talk about the good things they did, the bad things they did. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, for toddlers, that's probably good enough. You know, when David fought Goliath, here's the good things he did. Mm-hmm. Not let's memorize all the facts about David or, Goliath at the age of 2.
You know, David was brave. He knew God was with him. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. The fourth one is be creative, and she even links to another article that she wrote. But here's the one I want us to spend some time on. She has two number fours. It's actually number five. But it's go to camps, lectureships, or any place. That's where I want us to spend some time, Leah. Any place where you can meet new people and learn more about the Bible. And the reason I want to spend some time on this is it would be easy to read, the first four things on this list and think, yes, that's what a parent needs to do for their kids. Read them the Bible, give them the Bible, teach them about the characters of the Bible, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And then get to this last one and think, well, that's just for the parents. We'll go away to a lectureship, or we'll go to a gospel meeting, or we'll go to, you know, whatever, and we'll meet other adults that love the Bible, and we'll sit in the lectureship, or we'll sit at a, you know, a gospel meeting, we'll learn the Bible, you know, we'll deepen our knowledge. That's not what this, you know, the last one on the list is still for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
How many families make time for family outings to everything other than places? And I love how she words this. You can meet new people and learn more about the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, gospel meetings in your area, or whatever you call them, revivals or seminars or you know, that sort of thing. It's not just for the parents. And it doesn't just need to be, you know, mommy and daddy, you're going to take the evening, get a babysitter. That's fine every once in a while. Let me say that. But a place where kids can look across the aisle and there are some other kids there on a Tuesday night,
right?
You know, hearing David Shannon preach the gospel or whatever. That's fantastic.
What I was thinking is that, you know, if you want your kids to have a true appreciation for the church, not just your own special congregation.
Yeah, the church universal.
You know, a lot of times, you know, we talk a lot about what makes children as they grow up leave the church, like once they're out on their own. And I've wondered a lot of times, is it possibly that sometimes, you know, we don't take opportunities like this when we can, because it's real easy when a child leaves, you know, maybe that home congregation, and if they are never given that opportunity to be around other congregations, good sound congregations, and participate, you know, in the youth rallies, and then in not just stuff for kids, for them to know that there are congregations out there with good preaching, and that they've experienced hearing not just their hometown preacher,
yeah,
but another gospel preacher. I can't see how that would do anything but just increase their faith and give them an appreciation for the church, you know, worldwide. They need to understand that this is not just how, you know, my home congregation believes or thinks. That this is and even at a young age, they can start understanding that,
right.
I think.
And I love that she does mention camp, you know, go to camps, lectureship. It'd be really easy to make this point, send your kids to camp and vacation Bible school, even mm-hmm. another congregation, which mm-hmm. again, that's fine. But she points out, you know, things like lectureships mm-hmm. that we think, you hear that word and you think, that's for the intellectual adults, mm-hmm. right? Well, yeah and no. Your kid may not sit through, you know, a lectureship or a debate or something and understand everything that they're talking about on some particular topic. I get that. And your kid may find it kind of boring to sit through, you know, a congregational lectureship that lasts all afternoon. They may find that really boring in a lot of ways. But there's still some value in our family is going to take an outing to the ball game. Our family is going to take an outing to a play. And our family is going to take an outing, not just when our congregation has a gospel right. meeting, but when a congregation 20 miles away has a speaker that we really want you to hear, whether you understand every... You take your kids to a movie. Does your kid memorize the movie?
No.
Of course not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they can't understand that preacher, Leah. He's just an adult, and this is just for adults. I'm sorry, that's just not right.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to memorize the whole sermon. It's pardon me for using this terminology, Leah. It's the experience of it.
Right.
They're getting used to, you know, taking the time in balance. We're not saying go 700 nights in a row to gospel mm-hmm. meetings. The area we live in, you almost could do that. I think, Leah, there are three gospel meetings in this area that start Sunday. I know there are two, maybe three. So it's not, you know, in our area, you can pretty much pull that off. But are we going to go to one the next week? Well, Lord willing, we are. You know, and it's not here. It's about a 40-minute drive away. But it's because somebody's preaching there that whether the kids understand the whole sermon or not, I want them to say, mm-hmm. I heard Wade Webster preach.
Right.
I want them to be able to say that. Mm-hmm. And that's who's speaking, by the way.
Yeah.
It wasn't just random.
No, he's not just making that up.
Yeah. I want to hear Wade Webster preach. One of my kids will say, you know what, I heard Wade preach. And we supported that other congregation.
You know, and we were talking about this just, you know, maybe a few days ago about we can't, I think it is, very tempting to say, well, kids are young. It's like what you were just saying, then they can't follow a sermon. They're not really going to understand. But you put years pulled together of sermons and lectureships and, you know, gospel meeting times and what, you know, whatever you can throw
in
there.
And tie it together with your own family Bible time.
Yes.
Or at least discussions
all
about those things.
All of that together is what's going to strengthen your child's faith. I mean, it's just this, the culture of Bible study is important. It is life to you to know about the Bible. It will, that's what's going to determine whether you have eternal life or not. If you have knowledge of God's word, you know, you can't obey God if you don't have the knowledge of what he wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just one of those things that, you know, it yeah, they can't. But I really feel sorry for parents or congregations or whatever that have this mindset that, well, we'll get serious about teaching our kids how to behave in church and be good at church when they're fifth, sixth grade.
Or older than that.
Older than that. You know, we're going to keep things on a real playful, childlike level. And there's a place for that, you know, in Bible classes. There's a place for that even, you know, like in a special seminar. Like, you know, if it's a marriage seminar, you know, we're going to have kid classes or we're going to just even have babysitting even. You know?
Right.
It's not like, oh, you can never do that.
Well, the meeting I held at Lebanon Road a couple of weeks ago, they had classes for the children every night of the meeting,
mm-hmm.
but they had classes for the
right.
children. I mean, they did a couple of fun activities, you know, because it's, you know, an hour every single night, but it wasn't just, hey, go over there and play games for
right.
an hour four times during the week.
Well, and I guess what I'm saying, you know, like time to times, things like that might be understandable, but if that's how you're always approaching your child's biblical education, so to speak, then, you know, I think we don't want to wait too late because
right.
I think we miss a lot of opportunities for them to really have the experience, even if they don't gather all the information that we would, you know, just having the experience of, and, you know, in this on a parent level, I think kids can sit and take things in a lot longer than we think they can. It's not always easy. I've been there and I've done that.
Oh,
and I'm
yeah.
still doing that, you know, but there is something to that. Like, we don't need to just convince ourselves that children cannot sit and be still. They can, and we ought to make them more than we do, just to train them to do that. You have to learn how to do it, you know.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I mean, I know you got to understand. I know what it's like to have children.
So, I mean, the encouragement from us is, families, if you see things in your area, and you may be in an area where the nearest congregation has a gospel meeting is 400 miles away, and we know we have listeners all over the country, you know, several places in the world. We understand that. We get, you know, that dilemma. But it's like you said, just to build in that, just as we're going to take our kids to go to ball games and plays and movies and things, we're going to have some outings where if we even have to travel a little bit, we're going to go hear somebody preach, or we're going to go to Polish the Pulpit, or we're going to go to a Christian college lectureship, even
mm-hmm.
just for a day, or,
mm-hmm.
or even just for an evening.
Right.
That's going to be part of it. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, Leah, so people
Uh-oh.
Are going to be mad, okay?
Oh, no.
You've been fired up last couple podcast. I'm going to do it this time.
I get fired up, sorry.
Yeah, here we go. If we're going to have our kids, you know, in ball teams or band or those sorts of things, we're not going to let them miss practice because they've got to get better over the course of time.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll let them miss church all the time. We won't take them to extra stuff so they get
better
at, you know, or more faithful at being
yeah.
a Christian.
Yeah, I totally agree.
That's sad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely sad.
That's kind of what I was saying, you know, trying to be gentle, more gentle maybe, but
I'm just fired up. I don't
I'm
care.
I'm just saying that I think sometimes any family can get into this, but a Christian family has to look different, and that includes the time you spend, your activities. And it's not just, we don't do bad activities.
That's
it's
right.
What activities are you doing that are really good? Not just good, but eternally profitable to relate to our last podcast. Last podcast.
How about that?
And so, you know, that's the way we need to be looking at things as parents. And you know, sometimes it's hard to talk about that. And you don't want to be, you know, dogmatic about that, so to speak, and say, well, everything you ever do with your family has to be spiritual. You can never go to a ball game. You can never do that. You know, that's not at all. But nope. We don't need to take it all or nothing. And sometimes we'll resist so much at, well, God still lets, you know, us have fun, or he still wants us to be a strong family. But I would say, and I've heard older family, people who've raised their children, and I would venture to say that most of them would say they have a stronger family later if they will spend more time on spiritual things. Your strength of your family won't be as much based on all the fun recreational things you did as much as it's going to be the lasting faith you're going to pass down to your children. And that's what's going to keep your family together. And that's what our whole blog and podcast is about, is passing that down to your children so that you can be a strong family.
Well, because at that point, you literally share everything. Right. You share, you know, you share eternal destiny. Your conversations can be more about just who won the ball game last night. It can be about heaven, hell, scripture.
You have a stronger family.
Morals. Yeah. You can talk about literally anything if you have that have that together as a family. So we will link to those couple of articles on the show notes for this episode. And the show notes can be found at fawnfamily.com/POD90. fawnfamily.com/POD90. And Leah, good luck with your Ladies' Day on Saturday.
Thank you.
Can I quote someone from Saved by the Bell?
What?
Coach Rizzo. Just step up to the plate, knock it out of the park.
Well, you didn't call me Dollface.
Dollface.
If you know Saved by the Bell. That's funnier if you, you know, not everybody.
I'll say half the listeners are going,
Saved by the Bell.
They are nerds. Actually, probably most of listeners.
We're children of the 80s is what we are.
Right. You got that right. You mean we're real people.
Yes, right.
That's what it boils down to.
Generation X.
The forgotten generation. Yeah. That's a whole different podcast right there. You baby boomers and you millennials have everything. Us Gen Xers are like, we exist too. We promise.
Know Saved by the Bell.
That's right. Hey, if it wasn't for us, these millennials wouldn't have anything to know about Full House. They wouldn't have a clue about that kind of stuff. But they wouldn't have Fuller House if we hadn't brought them Full House.
We didn't bring them that. But anyway.
Anyway, we look forward to back with you again in a couple of weeks on the podcast. Leah, love you.
Love you.
And we hope that, again, show notes can be found at fawnfamily.com/POD90 if you'd like to check out those links. And until 2 weeks from now, remember, your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.